Our reading of the story of Joseph continues in Genesis 37 with verse 12. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." Joseph answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. Joseph came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," Joseph said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, this morning we are finishing a sermon series where we have been looking at the topic of forgiveness, one of the most difficult things any of us will ever have to do. In fact, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist denomination, once said Jesus' greatest miracle was forgiving others when he was on the cross. He also said that was the only miracle you and I can perform. So if you've been with us the past few weeks, you know that we talked about what it means to forgive others, or last week, Sarah talked about what it meant to forgive ourselves. And today we come to a very difficult question. What happens when the person you have to forgive is your own flesh and blood? What happens when it's family that's wronged you? We're going to look at Joseph's story once more, but before we do, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, just 3 months ago, back in July, California police officers were summoned to report to a domestic dispute that broke out on the corner of Santa Ana Freeway and Ball Road in the city of Anaheim. Now, according to bystanders, what started out as a simple disagreement among siblings soon escalated to violence. Punches were thrown. People were tossed to the ground. The situation began to spiral out of control. Now, the police officers tried to break up the fight, but eventually the entire family had to be arrested. They were charged with over a dozen misdemeanors and felonies. Now, where, you might wonder, where did a fight like this take place? In Anaheim? Well, the answer is Disneyland. The happiest place on earth. You see, the family arrived that morning at Mickey's Toontown expecting a vacation. They left that afternoon in handcuffs. I said one spokesperson from the Anaheim Police Department, quote, "Oh, these things happen. Families, they get together at Disney, and in the heat, they sometimes get irritated with each other, and, well, sometimes things boil over." A comedian by the name of David Frost once said, "Having a child makes you a parent. Having two children, well, that makes you a referee." You see, sometimes the hardest people for us to forgive are those people closest to us. After all, family, it can cause us the greatest joy, but your family, well, it can also cause you the greatest heartache. According to one study, the average family argues 6 times a day about something. That's 42 arguments a week. That's 182 arguments a month. That's 2,184 arguments a year. See, whether or not we want to admit it, sometimes families fight. And what starts out as a simple disagreement, a simple dispute, well, soon it can become so much more. And so Reuben said to his brothers, "Let's not kill Joseph. Instead, let us throw him into the pit." Who knows exactly how this argument began between Joseph and his 10 brothers? The Bible doesn't tell us who threw the first punch. But the scripture does say, as soon as the fight began, things escalated quickly. What started as a simple disagreement about a gift Joseph received from his father, well, it quickly became violence. Emotions boiled over, punches were thrown, people were tossed to the ground, and when it was all said and done, Joseph was led away in handcuffs. He was sold by his own flesh and blood to work as a slave to some Midianite traders. No longer did Joseph have a relationship with his brothers. No longer could he speak to his father or give his mother a kiss. One little argument, one small disagreement in Joseph's family, it was torn asunder. That's just what happens sometimes. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, families can break. I was talking to a woman once who told me that every week she sends a text message to her son. And she wants to know how her son is doing. She wants to make sure he's safe and healthy. She wants to be part of his life, but of course he rarely, if ever, responds. "Keep praying for him," she said to me. "Now, I know I'm still his mother. I pray for him every day. I just hope that he is okay." Yes, sometimes families struggle. Even after you read Dr. Spock, even after you listen to Focus on the Family, our humanness can still get in the way. Even the best of relationships will be tested from time to time, and sometimes, well, sometimes we fail those tests. Families can and they do break apart, but of course, here's the thing. They don't have to stay broken. And I think that's the most amazing part about Joseph's story. That's the part I keep coming back to again and again and again. The Bible says for 24 years, Joseph was separated from his family. For 24 years, he had no communication whatsoever with his brothers. Joseph didn't write to his brothers, and they didn't write to him. Joseph didn't call his brothers, and they did not call him. The family stayed as far apart from each other as they could possibly do, but one day God brought them back together. And when they met for the first time, Joseph did not seek vengeance or demand justice. He did not respond in anger or pettiness. Instead, the scripture says he offered grace. And he embraced his brothers. He forgave them. Joseph said to his brothers, "What you intended for evil, God has used for good." Yes, all families break. But not all families have to stay broken, because God specializes in restoring broken things. Make no mistake about it. Forgiveness is a choice you get to make. No one else can make that decision for you, but also no one else can take that decision from you. You and you alone get to decide whether or not you will forgive. You don't have to allow the wounds of yesterday to define your family today. You don't have to be imprisoned by that pain any longer, because Jesus said, "For freedom I have come to set you free." See, Joseph, he could have held a grudge. Joseph, he could have lived the rest of his life drowning in bitterness or shame, but he didn't do it. Instead, the scripture says he forgave. He let go of that pain, and the scripture says he was set free. Adam Hamilton, the pastor of Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas, tells a story of counseling a woman one day who had a difficult relationship with her father growing up. The woman said, "Pastor Hamilton, when I was young, my dad was verbally, he was emotionally abusive towards me. But when I got older, well, during the last few years of his life, he actually had to come and live with us. He couldn't take care of himself anymore. He didn't have the resources to go anyplace else. He had to come to me for help. And I'm going to be honest," she said. "It was a struggle. It was a struggle to take care of the man who had made my life so difficult. I never really processed all of the hurt feelings I had, and well, he died before I had the chance to work things out with him. And I just felt like things were unsettled. So I want to tell you what I did." And she said, "On the one-year anniversary of his death, I decided to go out to the cemetery. And that afternoon, I brought with me a lawn chair and a bottle of wine and a sandwich. And I sat there all afternoon. And Dad and I, we talked. And I told him everything that had hurt me over the years. And I told him I forgave him. And then I asked him to forgive me for the mistakes I had made. And since we've talked," she said, "I'm doing better. I'm doing so much better." Yes, all families break, but not all families have to stay broken, because there is freedom in forgiveness. That doesn't mean your family's going to look like the Waltons. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to get along and be best friends. It just means it is possible, because what others intend for evil, God can still use for good. And as you walk this journey of forgiveness, I want you to remember this. I want you to remember you are not journeying alone. Now, I want you to look around and remember that you have brothers and sisters right here alongside you, people who will walk with you, people who will show up at your door with a lawn chair and a bottle of wine, and they will remind you that with God, all things are possible. Yes, for you, forgiveness may take a moment, or it may take the rest of your life, but God says God will set you free. In just a minute, we're going to close with a hymn. And as you do, you'll see that in your bulletin, we have a slip of paper here. And there's a place for you to write down whatever hurt you've been carrying with you for too long. And as we sing the closing hymn, if you feel led, we'd invite you to come and lay this pain down here at the altar, because God never intended you to take this with you. Now, after the service is over, we have a fire pit set up, and we're going to burn these slips. Because the scripture says that God is a consuming fire, which means God can take these hurts and God can consume them and replace them with grace. Now, if you're the type of person who wants to do this yourself, if you want to lay this in the fire yourself, you're welcome to go out front and put it in the fire. We have members of our prayer team that are going to be out there. And they'll be there to pray with you. And they'll be there to remind you that you are not alone in this journey. Yes, all families break, but not all families have to stay broken. And it all begins with forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? God, you said you make all things new. That in you our wounds are restored. Our pains are redeemed. So God, whatever heaviness we've brought to this place, we pray that you would take it from us. For your strength is greater than ours. We pray, Lord, that you would consume that pain and redeem it. Lord, we trust that what others may intend for evil, you can still use for good. So we pray that you would make good on this promise. God, hear these prayers. Receive them. And bless them by your Holy Spirit. For we offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.